Queen Elizabeth II has died at her Balmoral estate in Scotland at the age of 96.
I guess the thing is a queen, you know, just a queen. When we were kids, she'd been queen.
I thought she was wonderful. I'm not a monarchist. I thought she was wonderful.
Reflections from two of her subjects on the streets of London today, Peter Buckroyd and Sandersil Irons.
Queen Elizabeth was the constitutional monarch of the United Kingdom for 70 years, making her the longest ruler in British history. She became queen in 1952 after the death of her father, King George VI. Today, British Prime Minister Liz Truss honored her memory.
Her life of service stretched beyond most of our living memories. In return, she was loved and admired by the people in the United Kingdom and all around the world. She has been a personal inspiration to me and to many Britons. Her devotion to duty is an example to us all.
And as it has for hundreds of years, the monarchy was handed over to the next in line.
And with the passing of the second Elizabethan age, we usher in a new era in the magnificent history of our great country, exactly as Her Majesty would have wished, by saying the words, God save the King.
Queen Elizabeth's time on the throne was defined by duty to country and by considerable family pain. NPR's Frank Langfitt looks at her life and reign.
Queen Elizabeth's life spanned a remarkable arc in British history. She was born into an empire on which the sun never set and witnessed the nation's great victory in World War II. When Elizabeth recalled, she slipped out of Buckingham Palace to join the crowds.
I remember lines of unknown people linking arms and walking down Whitehall. All of us just swept along on a tide of happiness and relief. I think it was one of the most memorable nights of my life.
Later, she watched as Britain lost most of its colonies and much of its power. There were many personal lows, the divorces of three of her children, the death of her former daughter-in-law, Diana, a sex scandal involving her son, Prince Andrew. In addition, her grandson, Prince Harry, left the family to settle in California with his American wife. Through it all, though, the Queen worked to honor a pledge she'd made when she was just 21.
I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong.
Elizabeth was born in 1926, her ascension to the throne, an accident of history.
The Queen, of course, was never born to be Queen.
Christopher Warwick has written a number of royal biographies.
For the first 10 years of her life, she was pretty much an ordinary little girl.
All that changed in 1936, when her uncle, Edward VIII, abdicated to marry Wallace Simpson, a divorced woman from America. Elizabeth's shy, stammering father assumed the throne as George VI, placing her next in line. When the Second World War erupted 3 years later, Princess Elizabeth began performing official royal duties and delivered the first of many broadcasts, billed as addresses to the children of the British Empire.
When peace comes, remember, it will be for us, the children of today, to make the world of tomorrow a better and happier place.
The day is November the 20th, 1947. The time, 11 o'clock. A nation and a world watch.
At age 25, Elizabeth married Prince Philip of Greece and Denmark, a naval officer and distant cousin.
Once only in 1100 years of British kingship has there been such a day. An heiress presumptive to the throne marries the man of her choice.
She'd fallen in love with Philip in her early teens. While traveling in Kenya 5 years later, she received grim news from home.
The king, who retired to rest last night in his usual health, passed peacefully away in his sleep.
Elizabeth's father, who suffered from heart disease and cancer, died in 1952. The following year, her lavish coronation drew a global TV audience.
God crown you with a crown of glory and righteousness.
Elizabeth made a glamorous young queen in the gray post-war years, but also a remote one. Occasionally, she appeared to drop her guard and allow TV cameras into her home.
If you live in this sort of life, which people don't very much, you live very much by tradition and by continuity. I find that's one of the sad things, that people don't take on jobs for life. They try different things all the time. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you'll know exactly what you're going to be doing 2 months hence, or even beginning to know about next year. And I think that this is what the younger members find difficult, is the regimented side of it.
Difficulties involving younger royals led to some of the most painful periods of the Queen's life. In the space of a year, in 1992, the marriages of three of the Queen's four children collapsed. And that November, fire devastated Windsor Castle, her childhood home.
In the words of one of my more sympathetic correspondents, it has turned out to be an annus horribilis.
A horrible year.
I think the Queen really felt deeply wounded by the lack of success of her family, let's say.
Lady Sarah Bradford has written several biographies of Elizabeth.
She just felt humiliated, and possibly she felt guilty about it.
Things got even worse.
We have reports from Paris that Diana, Princess of Wales, has been killed in a car accident.
The Mercedes she was traveling in crashed into a pillar in a tunnel along the Seine.
They were apparently being pursued by paparazzi on two motorcycles.
It was 1997, and she'd recently divorced Prince Charles, but remained for many a sympathetic figure. Instead of returning to London to lead her people in mourning, the Queen remained in her castle in Balmoral, Scotland, comforting her grandchildren, Diana's sons, Princes William and Harry. Again, Sarah Bradford.
The week before Diana's funeral was probably the low point of the Queen's life, because for the first time in her life, she was actually really criticized, deeply criticized.
She appeared out of touch and uncaring. Many Britons were furious. Bowing to public pressure, the Queen eventually responded.
I, for one, believe there are lessons to be drawn from her life and from the extraordinary and moving reaction to her death. I share in your determination to cherish her memory.
With that tribute to Diana, the crisis faded. When the Queen celebrated her 60th year on the throne in 2012, she'd recovered her popularity. A few weeks later came the London Olympics, where she thrilled a global TV audience by pretending to skydive into the Olympic Stadium with Daniel Craig as James Bond. The audience belted out the national anthem with patriotic pride. Years later, during the pandemic, the Queen made a rare national speech that illustrated the unique role she played in the United Kingdom. As head of state and above politics, she reassured the British people and emphasized the country's traditional values.
Together we are tackling this disease, and I want to reassure you that if we remain united and resolute, then we will overcome it. I hope in the years to come, everyone will be able to take pride in how they responded to this challenge. And those who come after us will say the Britons of this generation were as strong as any, that the attributes of self-discipline, of quiet, good-humoured resolve, and of fellow feeling still characterise this country.
But recent years brought a return of family turmoil and crises that undermined the monarchy, including allegations that a 17-year-old girl was coerced into having sex with Prince Andrew, which she was forced to address in an interview with the BBC.
She went on to have sex with you in a house in Belgravia belonging to Ghislaine Maxwell, your friend. Your response?
I have no recollection of ever meeting this lady.
And claims by Prince Harry and his wife Meghan Markle of racism inside the royal family. In an interview with Oprah Winfrey, Markle raised questions about discrimination towards their son, Archie.
So we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
In a statement, Buckingham Palace called the claims concerning and said the family would address them privately. About a month later, Prince Philip, who the Queen had called her strength and stay, died at age 99 after more than 7 decades of marriage. Elizabeth became queen when Winston Churchill and Harry Truman were in power. She worked with more than a dozen British prime ministers and a similar number of American presidents. Queen Elizabeth is the only monarch most Britons have ever known. Sarah Bradford says Elizabeth will rank among the nation's great sovereigns, including Elizabeth I and Queen Victoria.
I think the Queen's legacy will be holding the whole thing together through bad and good, connecting with the world. I think she will be seen as dutiful, good at her job, and self-sacrificing in many ways.
A quarter of a century after assuming the throne, Queen Elizabeth summarized her role and her relationship with her subjects.
When I was 21, I pledged my life to the service of our people, and I asked for God's help to make good that vow. Although that vow was made in my salad days when I was green in judgment, I do not regret nor retract one word of it.
Frank Langford, NPR News, London.